This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
For the Saturday afternoon service of November the 30th, 1991. The Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas.
I'm through, Glenn, right now. It's too bad we don't have hours and hours, because I don't want anybody to leave here tomorrow that hasn't come, got what you come for. And it's hard for us to have all these private deliverances because we just can't get around to all of you. I'd love to sit down and talk to all of you and have you ask questions. And not that we know so much, but we've been through quite a bit in the last 50-some years that we've been saved. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Ready? I'd like to ask the Holy Spirit now to fill these vacuums, this emptiness. You see, if you're a 30-fold Christian, that means you're 70% not under the blood of Jesus and not really full of the Holy Ghost. If you're a 60-fold Christian, you still got 40% yet to go. Most of you are on the upward way. The next 40% is going to be pretty hard. But you can do it. You can do it. 60-fold Christians, it's all free from now on. You're going to have to take inch by inch. Praise the Lord. You're going to be different. Everybody's going to be different when they leave. Oh, he's going to turn me off.
I'm going to talk about inherited spirits of infirmity or familiar spirits of infirmity. And some of you have heard me talk about this before, but there's a lot of people here who haven't. And so that's what I'm going to deal with and tell you how the Lord brought us into the understanding of the inherited curses of our ancestral heritage in all lines, but especially in the area of infirmities. Let's go over to Deuteronomy chapter 30, and we will start with the 19th verse, the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy. While you're looking for that, I'll fill in a little hole that Irma was talking about. When we were going to these meetings of this gentleman that they excommunicated because he used A&W, passed out A&W cups, he came to Los Angeles from the state of Washington to hold a seven-day meeting in in the hotel that belonged to the Wyatts downtown Los Angeles. And somehow went down to record the meetings. And I didn't miss one single meeting, but the meetings, instead of lasting 7 days, lasted 7 weeks. 7 weeks. And I never missed a single meeting. Irma would get mad and say she was too tired and wouldn't come a time or two. But finally, when the meetings were down to about the last week or so, I decided to fast for 3 days for him to pray for me. I had really nothing. Basically, had happened. I'd been there and seen all this going on, just like it's going on here. I've seen it for now into the seventh week of it. And so I decided to fast for him to pray for me. And so I fasted 3 days and came down this one night and said, now, and I hadn't drank anything or eaten anything. I don't advise fasting without drinking. I found that out to my own detriment. I fasted 21 days and didn't drink anything or eat anything, and it hurt me physically. If the Lord actually tells you to do that, that's one thing, but if you do it, I don't advise it. You should drink liquids. So anyway, I brought me a pint of tomato juice or something along to drink after they threw praying for me, because I hadn't drank anything. So they started to pray for me, and when they did, something grabbed me by the ankles. This has nothing to do with what I'm going to talk about, but something grabbed me by the ankles and threw me to the floor. And then I could feel it in both my legs, and as they prayed for me, I could feel it moving up my legs. And if they quit praying, it would just be right where they quit at. It'd stay there. They'd start to pray, and it'd start to move again. They prayed for me for 3 hours. And for just one, whatever it was. And eventually it got up in my area of my intestines. And if they'd quit praying for me, I would just feel like I was just terrible, the worst cramps you ever had in your intestines. And then they'd start to pray and they'd start to move again. It came up. It got up in my chest area. And they kind of stopped a little bit to rest. And when they did, it felt like my heart was going to stop beating. It just like something was just twisting me inside, like right here. Then they'd start praying, and it'd come on up. I wouldn't let them quit. They'd go to rest, and it hurt me so bad, I'd tell them to come on, pray. And finally, it came on up, and when it got up here to my neck, it felt like somebody, it was hurting me, but if they just slow up a little bit praying, it felt like somebody just had me around my neck this way, just choking me to death. And it came up and came up, and finally, it came up to here about the top of my ears and came out. But I've had lots of deliverances, but I never had anything like that. I've never seen anybody else have a deliverance like that. In all the times that we've been around where people have been delivered, I've never seen anybody else anything. But that's... Huh? Oh. Oh, you did, huh? Well, anyway, the Lord delivered me and set me free of that, and many other things since then. In fact, the other day, about what was it, 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, we got to talking about this Santa Claus thing. I got the hardest deliverance of all, and I never even thought about it. And we started all of a sudden, why? All of these here, they were here. Anyway, let's look at this subject here. Deuteronomy 30:19. It says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. In other words, God says that we have the right to choose, that we can choose life and blessing instead of cursing. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days. So, we are to cleave unto the Lord. We are to learn to cleave unto the Lord, and we do so basically by hiding his word in our heart and obeying it. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, see, we're talking today. I've never talked just exactly like I'm going to do today. Because there are a lot of other things that go with curses, but I'm not working on the sexual sins and all of that, which also we're cursed by. But we're looking at the curses of infirmity. And in Deuteronomy chapter 28, beginning with verse 14, it says, And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. How will they overtake us? How? If we do not observe to do and obey the word of the Lord, to keep his commandments and his statutes. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shalt thou be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Now, we've heard a lot in the last few years about the blessings of Abraham. And I like the song that we sing, Abraham's blessings are mine. But Abraham's blessings are not yours unless you obey the word of the Lord. And if you obey the word of the Lord, you do not have to ask for prosperity. Prosperity will be at your door because you obey the word of the Lord, and God's word says that you will prosper if you obey his word. Therefore, we don't have to seek for Abraham's blessings. What we have to seek for is to understand and study the word and obey the word of the Lord in every little detail. Every little detail. It says to do all his or my commandments, and my statutes, which I command thee this day, all of them. And then it goes on to say, cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. That's just as if you don't obey the statutes and the commandments of the Lord. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. And the Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thy hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord will make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from the land whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, with a fever, with an inflammation, with an extreme burning, with the sword and with blasting and with mildew. They shall pursue thee until thou perish. And the heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust from heaven till it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. We have areas of this nation that we've known in days past as the Dust Bowl, and areas of this nation in the last 5 years or less that have been, 2 years ago when we went to Nebraska, there was areas in Nebraska where whole fields of wheat. So there wasn't enough wheat out there for the wheat they had planted because of drought. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. And the Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust from heaven till it shall come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee 7 ways before them, and shall be removed unto all the kingdoms of the earth. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air, unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. The Lord shall smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emrods, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness, and blindness, and astonishment of heart. And thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in the darkness. And thou shalt not prosper, have poverty in thy ways. And thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Verse 45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Quite a proclamation, isn't it? Why do we have infirmities? Because we have not obeyed the word of the Lord our God, and have kept his commandments and his statutes. Now, how did we come to an understanding of the infirmities that we have inherited from our fathers? Leviticus chapter 3. We were studying here some of the traditions of our ancestors. And one of the traditions of our ancestors is a statement made that I plead the blood. That is a tradition. It is not scriptural, but all Pentecostal people have used it and do use it until they see the error of it and change. My mother still says it to this day, and I've talked to her about it because I was born and raised hearing her say, I plead the blood. But when you get into the deliverance ministry, you will find that unless you use the scripture that it is written correctly, sometimes you will get called on it by the demon. And one thing that they can call you on is the statement, I plead the blood, because it is not scriptural. And so we were studying on the applications and aspects of the blood of Jesus. And in so doing, in Leviticus chapter 3, verse 13, was one of the verses that I used in our study that night. And across the page on verse 6 of chapter 14 is another verse. And there are many verses that you will find concerning the blood of Jesus. And this verse says, "And he shall lay his hand upon the head of it and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle the blood thereof upon the altar round about." Now, there are five, since this is part of our study, you need to understand that there are five applications that are scriptural of the blood of Jesus. And we were studying the five scriptural applications of the blood of Jesus. And for your information, one of them is that we can appropriate the blood. One of them is that we can cover with the blood. One is that we can sprinkle with the blood. Chapter, the verse we just read. We can sprinkle with the blood. We can apply, we can appropriate, we can cover, we can sprinkle. What is the fifth one? Wash. They overcome them by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, washed in the blood of the Lamb. So there are five scriptural applications to the blood of Calvary, the blood of the Lord Jesus. But I finished reading this chapter. It only has four more verses. I had no reason to finish reading. It had no part of our Bible study. But I finished reading it, and the last verse of this chapter says, "It shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your generations, that it shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings, that you eat neither fat nor blood." Didn't mean one thing to me. I didn't know why I had read it, and we went on to our study. There was one of the ladies that was here that evening. The Lord woke her up in the night and had her get up and impressed upon her to get up and find all she could find concerning eating of blood. And there are quite a few verses. In fact, I think there's at least 26 verses that relate to the eating of blood. And she got up in the night and hunted them up and looked them all up. And she thought, "Well, why on earth am I doing this?" And then the Lord reminded her that she had been to the doctor for the first time in several years that week, and he had told her that she was borderline diabetic. And, of course, they said, "Have you got any in your family line?" And my great-grandmother died from sugar diabetes. My grandmother died from sugar diabetes. My mother died from sugar diabetes. I have two sisters who have it very bad. One of them has lost one of her feet, or I think maybe both up something on both of her feet. Now they tell her she's borderline sugar diabetic. The Lord told her, I don't know, but the Lord told her that the reason for sugar diabetes in their family line was an inherited curse from eating of blood. Now that's very common in some of the nationalities, the German, some Scandinavians, the Polish, the Italian. Blood sausage, blood pudding, blood soup. But God says that you shall not eat blood forever, perpetual, or fat. But we've been so, rebellious that we don't have to pay any attention to the Word of God because we've bypassed that and we live by grace now. So because we've got grace, we don't have to pay any attention to these things. And anyway, that's Old Testament. But if you'll study, you'll find there's almost as much in what is called the New Testament as what is called the Old Testament. But it's really not New and Old Testament. It's all one book. And if you do want to divide it and make it old and new, you've got to make the division at the second chapter of Acts. Because there is no New Testament until we come to the second chapter of Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are Old Testament. The division is not correct. And that theory doesn't hold water. She came back Saturday night. We had prayer meeting Saturday. Didn't say anything. Come back. This was Thursday night. Come back Sunday morning, and we had morning service. And I taught Sunday morning, I said, "Has anybody got a prayer request this morning before we go any farther?" And she held up her hand. And she said, "I would like to say something." And I said, "Say on." And she got up and said what I have told you. Then she said, "The Lord impressed upon me that if you would pray for me and break the curse off of me, my ancestral heritage, that the Lord would heal me." Now, that's the first time I ever heard anything about what we're teaching this afternoon. And it happened right here in this room. That was my beginning. So I had to search to find out. Well, I said, sure. If the Lord told you, we'll do it. There were 9 people that morning that we prayed for. And then, now I have to find out what I've done. So then I have to search to find the scriptures to back up what I have done this morning, you see. And in doing so, then I have found what we're studying today. And a lot more. There's a lot more besides just the hair. But today we're studying the spirit of infirmity, or the inherited spirit of the familiar spirit of infirmity that has a right to come down the family line. Okay, so let's look at Exodus chapter 20, I think it is. I had my paper in there and pulled it out. Didn't mark it down, but I think that's where it's at. And we will see now that there are many references to this. Yes, it's Exodus chapter 20. It's in Deuteronomy 23. It's in Deuteronomy 7. It's in Exodus 34. It's in Deuteronomy 5. It says, and God spake all these words, saying. Now, there's another tradition, Lee, that is not a biblical fact. They say this is Moses' law. No, it's God's law. For it says, and God spake all these words, saying to Moses. He told Moses. God spoke them. But Moses just said what God told him to. He said, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage, or out of the land of sin. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, doing what? Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that do not obey my word. King James says that hate me. Other translations say that do not obey my word. But showing mercy unto thousands and love that love me and keep my commandments. So I want to be one of those thousands that love the Lord by keeping his commandments and receiving his mercy. And there's another place where it says showing mercy to 1,000 generations. You realize where 1,000 generations puts us? Way off in eternity. 40,000 years from this time on out into eternity, that the Lord says that he's showing mercy and love unto those that obey his word. Okay, so then I found this, the basis for this for the familiar spirits that have a right to come down the family line. Because we have disobeyed the word of the Lord, it has given a right to these areas of our life by disobeying the word of the Lord, and until we repent of it or it runs out, it stands. Now, you say, how can I repent of my father's sins? Well, you can't change. As a tree fell, so is it. But you can bring the sin of your father's ancestors up and ask the Lord to forgive the sin of the ancestors that has come down to visit you. And then you say, well, I thought I got rid of the curse at Calvary. Yes, we did, when we applied and appropriated. You see, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. It says, but it's nice to stop there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, if we just stop right there, the world is all saved. Everything's taken care of. But we've got to finish the verse, that whosoever... The same is true of the curses. Galatians 3:13 says that Jesus became a curse, so I don't have to bear the curse. I must apply and appropriate it as written and appropriate Galatians 3:13 that Jesus became my curse. It is not an automatic thing. However, my Pentecostal tradition taught me that it was. But I have found out that that is not so, that I must apply and appropriate the word of the Lord in my behalf and your behalf in order to come out from underneath these areas that I am bound by because of the sins of my ancestors and even my own sins. And then the demons, Satan's demons' job is to get us to repeat the sin before it runs out so it becomes perpetual. Now, we're not studying the ancestral curses of sexual sins today, but I am of the opinion that every family every living person until the curses are broken are under the curse of incest and the bastard. I believe every single living person is under that curse until it's broken off of your family line. Why? Because it is a 10-generation curse, and in 10 generations that has been repeated someplace in the ancestral line, either the illegitimate child or the incest. In one form or another, has been repeated. And so I think we're under a perpetual curse of incest and the bastard until we've come down to the place where we take dominion and authority over that curse and break it off of our family lines. Now, we're dealing this afternoon, basically, though, today, with the familiar spirits of infirmity. And look around us. We're all, in some way or other, under some type of an infirmity. Like a brother Hayford, when he had everybody that was sick to walk by the front of the platform. He didn't pray for them. He didn't touch them. Did nothing. When he got through, he said, "I just wanted to see how many sick people was in this place." And he said, "This ought not be." And that's true. It ought not be. But we are. So help us to come to an understanding and be able to apply and appropriate the word of the Lord for our individual problems and concerns and for our families, so that we can come out from underneath this demonic power of Satan that he has been holding and is holding over us individually and as a family. That we can live and have life and not death. But of course, the answer to that, again, is quit sinning and have life. And so, but little by little, we're learning, and little by little, he's changing us. Amen. Of course, goes little by little, he's changing me. And that's true. Little by little, as we come to an understanding and then apply and appropriate the word, we're coming to an understanding of the word of the Lord so that we can have the life that God intended for us to have. Okay, let's go back to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 58. It says, "If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law," and I've already read most of it, that which concerned the spirits of infirmity, "if thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name of the Lord thy God," and I say that his name is Jesus, "then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful and many and great." Many and great also. And the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long countenance and sore sickness and long continuance. He repeats it twice there. "Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which you were afraid of, and they shall cleave unto you." Now, here is the horrible, awful statement. "Also, every sickness and every plague, which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon you until you be destroyed." And today we've got some plagues in the earth that God has brought that that there is no cure for because of the sin that's in the land that God has allowed them to come. Now, cancer, they have no cure for cancer, and they have no cure for AIDS. And I definitely state that AIDS is a curse from God because of sin that's in the land. And if God ever allows them to find a cure for it, it will be by his grace, because Sodom and Gomorrah is the curse of the land, and he's in the that curse is on the land. So we're going to come against these spirits of infirmity this afternoon. We're going to take dominion over them. We're going to take authority over them, and to the best of our ability, we're going to break them from off of our family lines. If there be some, when I get through here, that the Lord has showed somebody, why, speak it out, and we will add it to the list this afternoon. Okay? All right. I'll pray, and you all agree with me, and I'll pray. But Irma has already prayed here for us this afternoon in the other area and asked the Lord to cleanse us. We prayed today for the Lord to cleanse our minds and forgive us for our unforgiveness in these areas of our life. Linda did, and for unforgiveness, because if we have any unforgiveness against anybody, well, the Lord won't hear our prayers, so we need to have that taken care of. And Linda did a job, and Irma already taken care of that. So we'll continue on from where we're at now. So we're going to work on the spirits of infirmities. Father, I come as a priest in behalf of myself and in behalf of these people today, and I ask for your grace and your mercy that's extended unto us, and I praise you for it. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses and washes us from sin. I apply and I appropriate the blood of Jesus to our lives today to wash and cleanse us, that we may be a people holy and righteous before you, walking before you to be a glory unto your name. And Father, I thank you for the privilege you've given us today to use the name of Jesus. For it is written, Satan, that Jesus said, in his name we have authority and dominion to set the captives free and to bind up the brokenhearted and to loose the captive. And I break the powers of Satan over us this afternoon, and I put the blood of Jesus to cleanse and wash. I bind the powers of the familiar spirits, and I bind the familiar spirits, the spirits of disease and infirmities this afternoon. I break their assignments, and I apply and appropriate the blood of Jesus to cleanse and to wash and to separate us between us and the sins of our ancestors that would give these familiar spirits rights to our physical bodies. I thank you for the privilege you've given us, Father, because it is written in Galatians 3:13 that Jesus became the curse so that we do not have, and I do not have, to bear the curse. So, Satan, I apply and I appropriate the fact that Jesus became our curse this afternoon to break the curses and take the rights away of these familiar spirits, of these curses that are visited down upon us because of the sins of our ancestors. Now, Father, I thank you for the blood of Jesus, and I apply and appropriate the blood of Jesus to cleanse and wash us and to separate between us and the sins of our ancestors and that which has given a right for them to come down the family line. I break their power and their dominion. I loose us from their authority, and I loose us from their rights to come down any farther, and I cut them off at this point from us and from our posterity. I loose us from them in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, I come in Jesus' name, and I bind these familiar spirits again, bind them in chains, ask for the angels of the Lord to come and to keep them bound until they shall be judged at the day of judgment. For, Father, it is written that Jesus sat down at your right hand, and he's going to sit there until his enemies are put under his feet. And, Father, these are some of his enemies, and we're going to put them under feet this afternoon, and they're also our enemies. So, Father, I come in the name of Jesus. I take authority and dominion in Jesus' name over the spirit of consumption. I bind the spirit of consumption and the familiar spirit of consumption, and I break its authority in Jesus' name. I come against the spirit of fever. I bind the spirit of fever and all that its attributes. I bind the spirit of inflammation and all of its attributes. I bind the spirit of burning in Jesus' name. I bind the spirit of botch. I bind the spirit of hemorrhoids. I bind the spirit of scab. I bind the spirit of itch. I bind the spirit of madness. I bind the spirit of blindness. I bind the spirit of astonishment of heart. I bind the spirit of blindness. I bind the spirit of cancer. I bind the spirit of leukemia. I bind the spirits of kidney stones and kidney problems and bladder problems. I bind the spirit of liver problems and gallbladder problems. I bind the spirits of sugar diabetes. I bind the spirits of hypoglycemia. I bind the spirits of sinus and arthritis. And I bind the spirits associated with heart problems, of plaque, and the problems that's associated with the heart problem and the blood vessels. I bind their power, the powers of these familiar spirits and these spirits of disease. And I bind you, and I break your assignment over God's people. And I command you to come out of us in Jesus' name. I command you to come out of God's people this afternoon. You spirits of infirmity, you familiar spirits of infirmity, I bind and break your assignment over God's people. I come against a problem with the ears of hearing. I come against eye problems, sight. I come against these problems in Jesus' name, and I command you to loose us and come out of us. I break your assignment over God's people this afternoon in Jesus' name. Spirits of madness, mental problems, I bind and break your assignment over God's people. I bind your assignments. I loose us from mental problems, spirit of madness. I break the assignment over us in Jesus' name. And I loose us from it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Spirits of fever and inflammation and burning, all the different diseases of skin diseases. I break your assignment, a scab. I break your assignment, an itch. I break your assignment, Silvers, this afternoon. I loose us from it in the name of Jesus. Come out of us. Come out. Come out. I command you to come out of God's people. Come out, spirits of infirmity. I break your assignments. I take your rights away. I loose us from your from the right that you have over us. I break the curse from off of us, and I set us free from it in Jesus' name. Come out of God's people. Come out of us. Set us free. Loose us in Jesus' name. Take a deep breath. Let them go. Loose them. Take a deep breath. Take a gut-level breath. Push them out. Push them out. Break the rights they have. Spirits of infirmity. Come out of us. Loose us in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out in the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name, come out. Come out. I bind and break your assignment over God's people in Jesus' name. We will walk in health and life. We will have life and health. It is written, Satan, that by the scars and stripes of the whipping post, there's restoration and healing for the physical body. And I apply and I appropriate the scars and stripes of the whipping post that Jesus became our curse and that Jesus became our sickness and our disease. Through the scars and stripes of the whipping post, that there's healing for the physical body. And I command these spirits to loose us and set us free this afternoon in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Spirits of infirmity, come out of us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, by the scars and stripes of the whipping post, I command our physical bodies to begin to restore themselves in areas where they have been destroyed because of sickness and disease. I command our bodies to begin to restore themselves and restoration to come. I command restoration to come into our physical bodies in the name of the Lord Jesus. I speak to our bodies in whatever area that they need restoration. I command our bodies to begin to restore themselves. Father, you made us wonderfully. You made us. And you made us so that we would restore and be whole. And I command our bodies to begin to restore themselves and to become whole in Jesus' name. Whatever area, I come against stomach ulcers. I come against trouble in the of colitis. I come against problems in the bowels. I come against problems in the intestines. I come against problems in the lungs, breathing problems. I break the assignments of it over us in Jesus' name. I loose us from it in the name of the Lord. I come against problems in the feet and the legs. I break the assignments of it in Jesus' name. I loose us from it in Jesus' name. I break that assignment over our physical bodies. And I break the Satan's rights. I take Satan's rights away. And I loose us from it in the name of Jesus. I praise you for it, Lord. Arthritis, spirit of arthritis, I come against you in Jesus' name. I break your assignment over God's people. I loose us from it. I loose the bones, the back, the joints, in the backbone. I come against it in Jesus' name, in the shoulders. I loose us from arthritis. I break that condition in Jesus' name. Teeth, problems with the teeth and the gums. I come against the pyrrhea and problems in the teeth and gums. I break that assignment over us in Jesus' name. I break the curse of it over us in the name of Jesus, and I loose us from it in Jesus' name. I praise you for it, Lord. I thank you for it. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I come against the curse that comes down the family line that causes the children to be born malfunction. I come against that in any of the families. I break that curse in Jesus' name over the family lines of children, that they'll be born with the malfunction in their physical bodies. I break that curse of it in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it. I praise you for it. Epilepsy. Epilepsy. You foul spirit of epilepsy. I take authority over you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. You foul spirit of epilepsy. I bind you and I break your assignment. I break the curse that has given a right in the family line. And I break that curse and any words that's been spoken against any of us here by any witchcraft or any doctor or any potions that's been worked against us or against our ancestors that has given a right in the family line. I break that curse and I come against it and I cause the words to come to naught and I break the curse of it over us in the name of Jesus and I loose us from it in Jesus' name. And I break the dominion of it in Jesus' name over these people today. In the name of Jesus, I praise you for it, Father. I thank you for it. I thank you for it. Yes? Didn't hear you. Nerve deafness. Father, I come against nerve deafness. I break that curse. Nerves, I command you to restore yourself. Nerve deafness, I bind the spirit of it. I bind the spirit of deafness. You foul spirits of deafness and nerve deafness, come out of us in Jesus' name. I rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. I break your assignment over our hearing in the name of Jesus. I set us free from it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Praise you for it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Huh? Oh, I come against all those things that the Lord says that will come against us that's not mentioned, that He hasn't mentioned. I come against all those that are not mentioned, and I break the curses of it off of us. Father, forgive us for not obeying Your word. Forgive us, Father. Forgive us, Father, for not obeying Your word that has allowed these things aright to come unto us. Forgive us, Father, so that we can walk in life and health and strength, that we may be cleansed, Lord, of these areas of our life. Forgive us, Lord, and help us, Lord, to study Your word, that we will study Your word and hide it in our heart so that we'll know that the areas of our life, Lord, that we haven't been obeying Your word. Help us, Lord, to study it and to hide it in our heart, Father, that we will walk before You in holiness and righteousness, that there will be no place for Satan to find, no place when he comes that he can find in us, that to where he can torment us in any way, physically or mentally or spiritually. I thank You for it, Father. I praise You for it in Jesus' name. Spirit of poverty. Spirit of poverty. The curse of poverty. In Malachi, God says that He curses us if we don't pay our tithes and give offerings. He says we're cursed. And, Father, I come against the curse of not paying our tithes that comes upon us for not giving You that portion which belongs unto You. I come against the curse of poverty, having holes in your pocket because you haven't given God His portion. I break the curse of poverty in Jesus' name over God's people. Father, forgive us for not giving You that portion which belonged unto You. I break the assignment of it over us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank You, Father. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. What else have we missed? Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Jesus. Well, Father, I thank You, Father, for hearing our petitions today. I thank You, Lord, for helping us to desire and to have a desire to study Your word, to follow it, Lord, that we may understand Your word and live by it so that we may have health in all of our flesh. I thank You for it, Father, and I praise You for it. Now, Father, I thank You again for life and strength to flow into our physical bodies. I thank You, Lord, for the scars and stripes of the whipping post. And I command us again, once again, I command our physical bodies to receive the healing virtue of the Lord Jesus and to begin to restore themselves in the areas where we have been destroyed because of sickness and disease. I thank You for it, Father. I thank You for restoration, that we may be a vessel of honor unto Thy praise. And I praise You for it in Jesus' name. Thank You, Father. Amen, amen. Praise You, Jesus. Well, let's raise our hands and ask the Holy Spirit to come in and to help drive these things out and then to fill these areas that restoration will come to our physical body. Father, I thank You for the Holy Ghost. Thank You for it, Father, to indwell us, Lord, that we be filled with the Holy Ghost in every area of our being. And that, Father, that Your word, it is written, and the Holy Ghost will drive out these areas of our bodies, Lord, that we will be a vessel of holiness unto Thee. That we shall be a vessel unto Thy glory. And I thank You for it, a testimony unto those about us of the power of God in our lives as we declare and make Jesus Lord of our lives and make Him King of kings and Lord of lords. For He is our King, and He is our Redeemer, and He is our life and our strength. And in Him we give praise and glory and worship. And I praise You, Father, and I thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Well, we've got a few minutes of time here before supper's ready. It may be ready. I don't know. But I think that we need to. I know we're wearing poor Linda's voice out. But lunch is ready. Whatever. Well, anyway, but we still. I want to sing the blood of Jesus. You got something to say? Okay. I want to... by asking nobody to do it. You know, the blood of Jesus is our protection and our covering and our care, and we need to appropriate and apply the blood of Jesus to us as we travel or whatever. We need to ask for the protection and the angels of the Lord to go with us and to be our protection and our covering and our care. I tell you, there's many and many a time that so many things could have happened to all of us except for the angel of the Lord that was with us to watch over us. I can tell you many instances where the angel of the Lord has watched over me and kept me from death or being hurt badly. And I know that the Lord done it. The Lord has protected us. So we need to appreciate the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus and to appropriate it continually.
The blood prevails. Let's sing it together. Hallelujah. The blood prevails. The blood of the risen Lord has power to save. Just like in olden days, the blood prevails. No matter what others say, thank God the blood prevails. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
Father, we thank you for all the kitchen help and all that they're doing back there to feed us. Bless them, Lord. We thank you for it. Lord, we thank you for making it health and flesh to us this evening as we rejoice together in fellowship, Lord, eating the good food that they got ready for us. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.